We thank you for tuning in to the Chosen City Church Sermons podcast. At Chosen City Church, we are chosen to overcome, to build, and to be like Jesus. We pray that this podcast will empower you to do the same on today.
Keep worshiping. Come on, let's keep worshiping. Thank God. The prophet Isaiah was once given a glimpse into heaven. Hallelujah. And in that glimpse, he saw the angels sitting around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, salvation and honor be to the Lord our God." Let's take about 30 seconds and just give him some praise. In the midst of it all, he's still worthy. Hallelujah. He is wonderful. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Listen, y'all. We experienced dynamic worship, but what we just also saw is when God's hand is on a ministry. I just remember when we first started and it was hard to get three, four people to line a hymn. We got a choir, y'all. We got a choir. Ain't it good? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Obviously, we celebrate our dynamic praise team and they were worshiping with the choir, but God is up to something in this amazing place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you have been doing in this worship experience. And we thank you, Father God, for what you will continue to do. God, we just pray, God, that you will open the hearts and minds of every individual in here, young and old, those that come in with frustration, those that come in with unanswered questions. Speak to us clearly. God, I pray for strength, Father God, personally, as we had such a pouring out in the first service. I pray that you fill me up again, Father God, and speak clearly to the individuals that are in this space today. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we're careful to give your name all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. It's in the powerful name of Jesus. Let the people of God say together, amen, amen, amen. Our scripture today is found in the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, verse 17 through 19. And as we love to do here, I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to read the word of God out loud and we're going to read it together, okay? Ready, set, read. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and it feels like empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I would just like to use as a sermon topic for today, as we close out our growth mindset series, the power of yet. Turn to somebody and say, the power of yet. Turn one more time. Let's get this atmosphere. The power of yet. You may be, amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Listen, I pray that this series has been much of a blessing for you as it has been for me. I have truly been challenged personally and collectively to think about my circumstances and situations and life challenges differently based on looking at the growth mindset concept, which was birthed in academia and further expounded upon by a psychologist, to take that aspect and look at it with a spiritual lens to say that God is requiring each and every one of us to have a growth mindset. You remember the difference between the growth mindset and the fixed mindset was really at the end of the day, how do we deal with challenges? How do we deal with obstacles? And even though this series is coming to an end, what God is saying, this is the beginning of you looking at your challenges and obstacles differently. Do y'all remember how we talked about a fixed mindset individual is the person that looks at a challenge and because it's something they don't have the resources for, it's something that God hasn't fixed, it's something that God has changed, they look and they process that challenge in such a way that they become stuck. In comparison to a person that has a growth mindset, will look at the same challenge as an opportunity to learn, as an opportunity to be delivered, as an opportunity for elevation. And when you look at your challenge differently, regardless of what you're going through, what you will discover is that you have the ability to pursue it. And my sisters and brothers, I'm excited because I believe I saved the best for last, because Dr. Carolyn Dweck, who wrote the book, The Growth Mindset, one of the things that she talked about was the power of yet. The power of yet. In one of her studies, she looked at various schools. She said she heard about a school in Chicago that shifted the outcomes academically from the students in the inner city that was struggling by shifting their language. Watch this. She said, instead of giving students an A, B, C, D, or F, at this school, if you were successful, they said you passed. But if you fail, the grade you received was not yet. Watch this. Simply because they were starting to understand that they weren't a failure, that this was not the end, it was just a not yet moment, they were inspired to keep pushing on. Can I encourage you today that what God is saying is that you're not a failure, you're not a disappointment, it's going to happen for you, it just hasn't happened yet. But she goes on into a study and she says, let me tell you something. She said, we gave a test to some 10-year-olds, and we gave these 10-year-olds a test that was harder than where they were academically. She talked about the growth-minded 10-year-olds who embraced the challenge because they understood the challenge was going to help them to elevate them, and in some way they were inspired and motivated by challenge in comparison to the fixed mindset 10-year-olds who looked at the challenge of a test that was too hard for them. And when they asked them, what will you do differently next time, well, one of them said, you know what, that old saying is true, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And I want to talk to some people today because you have been facing challenges and obstacles. When you face them in your life, sometimes we want to cheat. Sometimes we want to cut corners because we're just trying to figure out a way to do it. But what was worse, y'all, they said there were some who, because of the challenge that they were facing, when they faced the challenge and they fail, what they said they were going to do next time is sit by somebody else in class who did worse than they did so they could feel better about themselves. Y'all wonder where the term hater and naysayer come from? It comes from the fact, believe it or not, most people that are haters, if you will, naysayers, if you will, the truth of the matter, they're not satisfied with their own circumstance. They're not satisfied with their own condition. And unfortunately, the result is they always got to be critical and look down upon someone else. Well, I'm here to release us from that today, to say that everything that everybody else has, God has for you and then some. But you have to switch your mind from struggling with the fact that it hasn't happened. But you have to simply be able to declare what, y'all, that it hasn't happened yet. Carolyn Dweck says something that was so amazing to me, and I pray that you remember this. She says, instead of us celebrating the luxury of the power of yet, she said, most people are stuck in the tyranny of today. I'm going to run that back. That's tweetable. Give her credit because she made it up. She said, instead of us embracing the power of yet, we are stuck in the tyranny of our today. We're stuck in the fact that we're frustrated. We're stuck in the fact that it hasn't happened yet. We're stuck in the fact that it hadn't shifted. And I'm going to show you what God has to say to the people of God who are stuck in the tyranny of today. But if I want to help you, I got to paint a picture for you. Okay, I need some of my old school saints. They used to listen to 70s, 80s gospel music and 70s and 80s preacher. There was a sermon analogy that really, they didn't call it this, but but it actually is a growth mindset analogy. It's the story of this old donkey, and this poor old donkey was an amazing donkey. It has served effectively, but it couldn't serve like it used to serve because the donkey had gotten old. The donkey had gotten sick. His bones weren't as strong as they used to be. He couldn't pull the load like he used to pull the load. And everybody that used to praise the donkey, now they're looking at the farmer saying, you know what? What you gonna do about that old donkey? I believe that donkey season has come to an end. You know, people will do you like that, don't you? You know that, don't you? The same people though that was praising you, now they look at you and say you passed your time. Now they say it's time to pass the mic. And this farmer thought he would do what was best for the donkey because he loved the donkey, and he decided he would put the donkey out of his misery. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like when your pet gets sick and you have to take the pet to the veterinarian to put your pet out of his misery. You don't want to do it, but you feel that's the best way to take the pain away. And so this farmer, with tears in his eyes, he picks up a 12-gauge shotgun and he points it at that poor donkey. The donkey's looking at him and he's looking at the donkey, and he could not pull the trigger. And he said, I still know that I got to take the donkey out of his misery because the donkey is past his time. So he finds a hole about 10 feet deep, y'all, puts the donkey in the hole, and go and gets his best shovel. He gets his shovel and he starts throwing dirt on the back of the donkey. Anybody know what that feels like? It's bad enough to be in a hole and now they're trying to bury you. The farmer is doing it out of what he thinks is love. And now the donkey is in the hole as dirt is falling on his back. The donkey has two choices. The fixed mindset donkey would come to the conclusion that my life has come to an end. I want to tell you, the fixed minded donkey would probably lay there until they are covered in dirt and rocks. But I want to report to you the testimony of a growth mindset donkey. You see, this growth mindset donkey, every time they put dirt on his back, y'all know what that donkey did? He shook it off. And he packed it under his feet. I want to talk to somebody. They've been putting dirt on your back. They've been putting dirt on your name. The word of God declares, shake it off and pack it under your feet. Because what the donkey discovered, because he kept shaking the dirt off, after a while that 10-foot hole became a 7-foot hole. And after a while that 7-foot hole became a 5-foot hole. And after a while that 5-foot hole became a 3-foot hole. And because that donkey still had a little giddy up, that donkey was able to jump out of this. And I need about 10 people that's coming out of a hole, that's coming out of a stuff. You still got some Holy Ghost in you. I need you to be able to jump out, because God ain't finished with you yet. And in a nutshell, that's what I want you to remember about this series. But here's the problem, y'all. What happens when your hole is so deep and your hole is so wide and the amount of dirt that they throw in is so heavy that even when you try to shake it off, it just seems like it's keep coming? I said, God, how can I help them understand what you're trying to say? And God took me to this prophet by the name of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is an interesting character. He has a short account, only 3 chapters. Habakkuk, his life is not recorded in great detail, but we learn about Habakkuk in the Bible, and we learn about Habakkuk in Christian history. The Bible is Holy Ghost inspired. We can trust it syllable by syllable. Christian history is not suggesting that it's not true. But it's not, I wouldn't preach a sermon off of Christian history. Does that make sense? We're going somewhere. Christian history and either other religious books suggest that Habakkuk is the son of the Shumamite woman. You say, now how is that relevant? First of all, again, that's not recorded in the Bible. It's recorded in other history books. If this is true, you got to know who his mama is to understand who we're talking. His mama, the Shumamite woman, was an amazing woman of God. And she had an encounter with a prophet by the name of Elisha. The Bible says that her son got sick and died. She called on Elisha because Elisha was like Chosen City Church. He believed in the power of healing. Elisha laid his body on top of the Shunammite woman's son, breathed the breath of life, spoke life into him, and the Bible says the Shunammite woman's son lived and he did not die. The name Habakkuk literally means embrace or embracing. That's part of the reason why they believe that this was the Shunammite woman's son, because his name suggests that he was somebody that was embraced and was able to live and not die. He's a person with a testimony just like you. When you look back over the course of your life, you have a testimony, but you can have a testimony and still have a problem with God. You see, Habakkuk was a prophet with a problem, a priest that was questioning his praise, a person that was struggling with his current situation. And Habakkuk helps us to understand, how do we get to the point where we can celebrate the power of yet when the hole is too big and the hole is too wide and they keep throwing dirt on our backs and it seems to get worse before it gets better. Habakkuk says, I'm going to help the people at Chosen City Church today to understand what God is doing in the middle of those dark times. So what we learned from Habakkuk is this. One of the things I want you to understand when you are going through, that it's sometimes for a season, sometimes for a season, okay not to be okay. First thing Habakkuk says is this. Listen, if you're going to experience the power of yet, the first thing the people of God have to do is learn to lament. Everybody say, learn to lament. I want to show you this in the text. I'm going to teach you this today. Habakkuk 1, verse 1 through 4 says this. This is the message the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. Verse 2, how long? Anybody ever said that to God? Let's be real. Y'all, if you're a visitor here, we don't play with it. We real. How long, oh Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. He's talking about injustice. As injustice is here, injustice has always been. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Can anybody feel Habakkuk as a real person now? He's not so holy. He is saying, how long am I going to be in this situation? I keep calling you. I keep showing up, but it's not getting any better. Look at verse 3. He says this, must I forever see the evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence, and I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. Habakkuk was tired of drama. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so tired of drama. I'm just over drama. I'm just over injustice. And I could feel Habakkuk. Verse 4, watch this. He said, the law has become paralyzed. Y'all do know what the law was, don't you? It was the Torah. It was what we refer to as the Old Testament. It was those over 600 rules and regulations that Moses put together to help the people to be in alignment with the will of God and everything that they were doing. It helped them to worship God. It helped them to stay right with God. It helped them to know what was good and what was evil. And Habakkuk said, the law ain't even working. He said, what am I supposed to do when the word of God ain't even changing all of this injustice? When the word of God ain't fixing my family, when the word of God ain't fixing my situation, when the word of God is not turning my outcome around, what do I supposed to do when nothing is working no matter how hard I try? Watch this. Habakkuk teaches that we have to learn to lament. A lament is when we literally confront God with the problems that we have with God. Now, I don't know about you. I was taught you don't supposed to do that. I was taught you don't question God. Anybody else was taught that? We missed it. There's a whole book. I know why we missed it. Y'all know why we missed it? When last time you had a book? When was the last time you heard a sermon from the book of Lamentations? We don't preach that book. No, we don't preach that. Y'all wouldn't come back. No, we won't preach that. You know why? It's a whole book of complaints and accusations against God. The whole book. Now, there's a shift at the end, because that's part of Lamentation. We'll get to that. But Habakkuk was also a contemporary of Jeremiah. What does that mean? That's a fancy way of saying he lived at the same time Jeremiah did. Why is that relevant? Because Jeremiah is the prophet that is suggested to have wrote the book of Lamentation, these complaints against God. Jeremiah is the one that was known as the weeping prophet because he also had problems with God. It doesn't stop there. They suggest that possibly one third of the book of Psalms they contain lamentations or complaints against God because they're not understanding what God is doing. Y'all, let me tell you what I discovered in this. I discovered while we come into the church as we should to lift up holy hands because that's in order and that what delivers us. I've also learned, Reverend Colleen, that we got to teach people that it's okay to come into the house of God and lament. You ought to be able to come in here and say, bro, I ain't trying to hear no hallelujah. I don't need no help for him. Leave me alone. I am mad. Leave me alone. Tell me why God let it go this way this time. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. I ain't feeling it today. You ought to be comfortable enough to come in here. And listen, we got to be mature enough to be able to discern when a person is not, they ain't thinking about you. See, sometimes somebody come in, their face turned up. You say, oh, they acting stink today. They ain't thinking about you. They think about what they went through. They thinking about the fact that they got some bad news on the job. They thinking about the fact that their children not acting right. They thinking about the fact that their relationship is falling apart. And that's the real definition of coming into the house of God as you are. He comes in just like he is. God, a man. I don't understand. I'm frustrated. This does not make any sense. And the Bible says this is the definition of a lament. And sometimes I want to free you to let you know that it's okay to lament. When God calls somebody home in your life, it's okay to lament. Because our humanness cannot understand why God let the good die so young. It's okay to lament. When that one person you can depend on and you can't find them or can't depend on them no more, it's okay to lament. When you have trusted the church and you went through some church hurt or a bad experience, it's okay to lament. Watch what God does as Habakkuk laments and shares his frustrations. God speaks up, and he tells, how can I say it, Brother Coleman? Guess I say it like I always do. He gives Habakkuk the raw and real, straight no chaser. Well, God said, you're rough. He loves us, but the way he fixing us is giving it to us real. So he says this, Rebecca, it wasn't that I didn't hear you. I heard everything you said. I heard every cry. God said, I've heard everything, every cry, but I'm working it out. He said, this is what I'm about to do in response to your complaints. You know the Babylonians? Rebecca said, yeah. They ruthless. They worse than we are. They terrible. They terrorize. They rape. They pillage. They are terrible people. Yeah, I know them. I'm sending them to overtake y'all. Hold up. That was not in the prayer request, God. that was not in the prayer request. But God says, I need you to understand something. Sometimes, not all the time, because, you know, I want to be careful when I preach and teach that you understand the sometimes in comparison to the absolutes. Sometimes God has to send correction our way, and he does it through a way that is painful because we have not gotten ourselves in order despite the many opportunities that we have had to do so. Israel had gotten out of order, and God had given them a long time and a long opportunity to get themselves together. So since they wouldn't do it, he sent Babylon. Babylon for them was an army. But sometimes, being honest, God can send Babylon our way, and it can look like a lot of different things. I don't know the mind of God, so I can't say, but sometimes could God use a pandemic as a way of getting people back in alignment? He's done that in the Bible before. Just be honest about it. Could he send heartbreak into your life to help you understand who really loves your heart? He's done that before. And it doesn't feel good when God moves that way, does it? It does not feel good when God responds in a way that seems to be negative. So what do you do when God sends Babylon into your life? And the bigger question is, why does God send Babylon? Well, God sent Babylon into Israel because Israel was out of order. Can I say something to y'all real quick? We serve a God that is a God of what, y'all? Order. And it's not that God doesn't understand what we are going through. It's not that God does not understand our temptations. Y'all say, oh, he's God. He don't know what it feels like. Well, that's why he sent divinity, wrapped itself in dust and came down through 42 generations. They called him Jesus. He lived like us. He walked like us so that he truly understands what it means to be us. He truly understands what it feels like to be lonely. He truly understands what it feels like to be lied on. He truly understands what injustice feels like. He truly understands what it means to be accused wrongly. He understands what it means to be tempted in the spirit. He understands what it means to be tempted in the flesh. But in the midst of that, he knew that his victory was staying in order. So watch this. I want to talk to you real carefully about this. And I hope I don't lose y'all. I hope y'all mature enough. When pastors preach and teach about sin, whether sin as it relates to sexual immorality, sexual issues are seen to be the hot button topic of the day. It relates to same sex or no sex or this gender identity and all of these type of things that are hot button topics. I used to be in my ministry afraid, even though my beliefs, y'all know what they are, I'm pretty straightforward on that. I used to be afraid until God freed me from that and said, you're missing it. You thinking I'm asking you to go up there and preach condemnation on somebody. You think I'm asking you to go up there and condemn. That ain't your job. He said, your job is to help them to understand how much I love them. And if they do certain things that are out of order, I still love them, but they will never experience the fullness of me as long as they stay out of order. Can I meddle a little bit? Listen, I know that some of my singles in here, y'all were taught that you don't buy no car without test driving it. And some of y'all have been test driving that thing a long time. But God said, I ain't call you to test drive. Either put a ring on it or send them on their way. I'm just talking about it because I'm not doing my job. And I want you to be blessed, because if you do it the other way, you are what? Out of order. You see how that's not condemning? It's just that God is a God of order. And so what I do when it comes to these issues, we look at the scripture and I say, I can't call your sins out, because before I get to yours, I got to get to mine. And I don't really want to do that, you know, right now. So I'm not going to do that. But what I'm saying is, we both going to look at the word of God and ask ourselves, are we in order? Can I ask you to do that as it relates to everything you're doing in your life? Are you in order with what God would have you to do? Even when it comes to tithes and offerings, and we preach 2 Corinthians, give from your heart. When it comes to even giving, it's not about a big offering. It's about, if you want to be blessed in the financial area in your life, God is a God of order. And if you are in alignment with his will, he will open up a window for you and pour out a blessing that you have room enough to, won't have room enough to receive. So from this day forward, you know I ain't got no room to talk about nobody. My question for you is, whatever you are doing in this moment, is it in alignment with the will of God? Whatever you be looking at on the late night creep on your cell phone, is it in alignment with the will of God? Am I judging you? No, because I have to push my own doggone phone away. I'm just trying to tell you, I want the people that I serve to live a life of overflow. I want the people that I serve to be blessed in the city and to be blessed in the field. I want the people that I serve to be Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, so you can walk into a hospital room and speak life into somebody like Minister Derek did, and be able to decree and declare, you shall live and not die. I want you to be everything that God has called you to be. So Rebecca helps us to understand that the reason God had to move this way is because Israel was out of order. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes God gonna let that accident come in your life because you was out of order. But you know it's God, because it killed somebody else and you still here. That's a praise in and of itself. You know it's God because you are still here. God says, I have no desire to destroy you or to defeat you. I just want to make sure that you wet in order. And so now, Rebecca has heard this report from the Lord, and he said, God, I ain't feeling that one. You know, I hear you, God, but I need something else. And so the next thing Habakkuk says, if you're going to experience the power of yet, after learning to lament, after learning to take your complaints to the Lord, the second thing that you have to do is learn to pursue his will. Everybody say, pursue his will. So now you've complained, right? God, I'm really frustrated. My heart is broken. God, you broke my heart. I'm really telling you how I feel. And now that I've been honest with you, God, and you've communicated back, now I got to go into a season of pursuing his will, right? So watch, let's get it in the text. Habakkuk 2, watch this. Habakkuk said, God, I heard what you said about the Babylons. I ain't buying what you're selling on that one. So this is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to climb up to my watchtower, and I'm going to stand guard at my guard post. Perhaps in some ways, Habakkuk said, I was praying from a low place, and you didn't hear me. So I'm going to go to my watchtower, and I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to see what the Lord has to say and how he will answer my what? My complaint. Watch verse 2. Then the Lord said to me, and I want to remind you that God wants to speak to you more than you want to speak to him. God wants to speak. Just make sure that nothing is getting in the way of God's frequency into your life. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on the tablets. Where we get the scripture, write the vision down and do what y'all make it plain. Write my answer plainly on the tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Verse 3, this vision is for a future time. He was sharing with Habakkuk something that was going to happen in the future. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place and it will not be delayed. I want to remind you that sometimes God has given vision, and sometimes we have to wait on it, and I want to encourage you that it's coming. And now this is what God says. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Verse 5, wealth is treacherous, and the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations. Let's pause right there and swallow up many people. Watch this. The first thing that we see from Habakkuk is that he pursues the will of God, and now God is starting to speak. One of the things I want to encourage you to do, we're about to go into this season of prayer and fasting, starting on Wednesday, is that you need to pursue God's will like never before. A primary objective of fasting and praying is pursuing the will of God. Jesus himself would go into a season of prayer and fasting for spiritual recovery, but also to pursue the will of God, because Jesus had to understand that if he got out of alignment with God's will, what God was trying to do was not going to happen. And so now we see Habakkuk pursuing the will of God, and we see God speaking to him. And I want to tell you something about pursuing the will of God. Listen carefully to this. There's a major difference, y'all, between a vision from God and a notion from our flesh. I'm not suggesting that every notion is bad, but there's a difference between a vision from God and a notion from our flesh. Many times when we start off the year and we do amazing things like vision boards and vision books, I'm all for it. I do it. But if I had a chance to talk to a group of people that were doing that, I would say, make sure whatever you put on that board is a vision from God and not a notion from your flesh. When you look at the text, watch this. Who did the vision come from? Who did it come from? They need to see it again for themselves. Put that back up there. Verse 2, they want to be. Verse 1, Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Y'all want to see this for yourself. You can't miss it. Who talking? Your cousin? Nah, that's the Lord. The Lord said, right, who answer? That's right, who vision? His vision. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that vision comes from God and is not a notion from ourselves. Notions are not bad, but notions don't, let me tell you this about a notion. You could have a notion to want to do something good and admirable for your family, and you start to run with that notion. But when you run out of resources, that notion will come to an end. You got a notion to do something great to shift the scope of your own financial situation, and it's a good idea. But when the stock market crashes, a notion comes to an end. You got a notion about how you gonna fix your own relationship, and you got some things that you're going to try. And no matter what you have tried, no matter how many flowers, no matter how many Hallmark cards, no matter how many trips to Victoria's Secret, that thing still hadn't gotten any better. And ultimately you end and the relationship failed. Why? Because everything that you tried was a notion. But can I tell you about what happens when you move on vision? What happens when you move on vision? Since vision comes from God, when God sends vision, He sends provision. When God sends vision, when they attack the vision is wrapped in protection. When God sends vision, when they talk and criticize the vision, it's just walls that are falling. It's just words that are falling down, and the vision cannot be defeated. When God sends vision, yes, it's true that your enemy will try to defeat it, but when God said so, the word of God says that His promises are yes and amen. That means if you have a vision that comes not from your own good ideas, but if you have a vision for your family, man of God, if it comes from Him, it will not fail. If you have a vision, woman of God, for your family, if God sent it to you, it will not fail. If entrepreneurs wave your hands in the air, listen to this with your hands in the air. Every entrepreneur has to have a vision and not just a notion. The reason that businesses fail is because we operate in notion and good idea, but we got to learn to operate in a vision. And what does the vision come from? The vision comes from the Lord. All of my career people out there, put your hand in the air. Your vision for your career has to be something that comes from the high place and not something that comes from your place of pain. You see, notions come from a place of pain. While we are hurting, we get an idea that's going to take the pain away. You see, you may have a notion to smoke a little something. That's a notion too. You got that notion because you're trying to dull some pain. You may have a notion to step out on your marriage because you're just looking for somebody who can understand what you are going through. That's what notion looks like. It's something that we try to do to make the situation better. But I'm here to remind you, a notion will never work. But if it be of God, I want to remind you that it cannot fail. Do I have any witnesses in the house that can testify on your walk with God? You know what it feels like to move on a notion. I have moved on a notion, y'all, and I fell on my face. But when I got up off my face and said, my bad, God, I thought I heard you, but I was wrong. But is there any word from the Lord? And the Lord says, yes, do it this way and do it now. I need some people to testify to some other people in the room that when God sends a vision, it will come to pass. I speak life into your vision right now. If God has said it to you, it will come to pass. Can y'all testify that with me? Can y'all put that in the air? It will come to pass. You have a vision that comes from God, it will come to pass. God, speak to them right now, because somebody has been moving on a notion and you said, they can't move on a notion. They got to move with a vision. And when God gives you a vision, you got to write that vision down. Because vision from God is never just for the recipient. That's one way you know it's from God, because it's not just about you. Rebecca, I'm giving you vision now, but it's not for you. It's for everybody. Write it down and make it plain for everybody to see. Is everybody in your house connected to the vision? Is everybody in this church connected to the vision? Is everybody in your circle connected to the vision? If they can't connect to the vision, I'm not sure if they need to be in your circle. But if they have not connected to the vision because you hadn't told them, you got some homework to do on this day, because it is vision from God that is going to shift the outcome of your life. So Rebecca helps us understand, after I lament and complain to God and then I pursue His will, the next thing Rebecca helps us to understand is this. Then we have to accept, y'all, what God allows. Listen, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. So the way that God usually decides to fix a situation is usually not the way we would have done it. There is no way Habakkuk would have said, send an army to put us in bondage for 7 years. There's no way he would have done it that way. Can I ask you a question? Are you spiritually mature enough to accept what God allows? And if the answer is not yet, you're in a good spot. Because all that means is just lament a little while longer. Take it to God in prayer. Take it to God with frustration. I'm big mad, God. You hurt me this time. But when you get to that place where you've lamented and now you're pursuing his will and you can accept what God allows. Watch this in the text, Habakkuk 3, verse 16. This is what he said. So now he's accepted the fact that God is going to allow the Babylonians to put them in bondage for 70 years according to Jeremiah's prophecy, which came true. And he says, I trembled inside when I heard this. Because I'm going to tell you, when God speaks, it does cause fear because our flesh sometimes can't contain what God is trying to do. He says, my lips quivered with fear, my legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. Watch this, though. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Let me see if I can help y'all to see this. King James and I think NIV say right here, after my legs gave way beneath me and I shook in terror, it says, yet I will wait quietly for the coming day. For what? When the Babylonians take over us? No. When we are living in bondage? No. When we are living in fear? No. Habakkuk, what are you waiting on? Habakkuk said, tell the people at Chosen City Church, I'm finally starting to discover the power of yet, because I'm not looking at the tyranny of my today. I'm looking at the power of yet and my future. So I'm not so much focused on God, the tool, the mechanism that God is going to use to deliver us. I'm looking for that day when God is going to strike down the Babylonians and we will be back in alignment with the will of God. Can I help you to understand what it looks like when you accept what God allows? It looks like getting to a place of spiritual maturity that you understand that the pain and the heartbreak was not to defeat you, that the divorce was not to defeat you, that the loss of your child was not to defeat you. You understand that you can look beyond where you are because the power of yet is taking place in your life. You are depressed today, but yet tomorrow God is about to do a new thing. And I want you to understand, when you accept the will of God in your life in every situation, you move from being stuck by the tyranny of your today, and you have the power of yet in your heart. Can I really fight and press on the fact that I can tell in the spirit that there are some people that you know, and that there are some people that came in here today that are stuck on the tyranny of your today? But God is saying, I need you to be like Habakkuk. You are focusing on your condition, and you're not focusing on what I'm going to do. You are focused on your current calamity, and you're not focusing on what I'm going to do next. That's why sometimes the people of God have to learn how to run on and see what the end is going to be. Do I have anybody that knows what I'm talking about? You have to learn how to run on and see what the end is going to be. Your end is not Babylon. Your end is not your health condition. Your end is not a broken heart. Your end is not disappointment. Your end is not frustration. Your end is not a setback. Your end is not a prison cell. Your end is not a broken family. Your end is not a generational curse. Your end is not demonic possession. Your end is not a broken home. Your end is not broken finances. Your end is not being a broken person. I need some people that's willing to run on and see what the end is going to be. That's what Habakkuk wants you to understand. The ability to run on and see what the end is going to be. The ability to keep pursuing it in the middle of your pain, to keep pressing forward, to keep believing he's a healer, to keep believing he's a way maker. That's when the power of yet shows up in your life. Can I help you today? If you have spent time in lament, if you have pursued his will, if you have accepted what he allows, because you understand that you don't like it, but he has you in mind. Is there anybody in the house that you don't like it? But you know God has you in mind. You don't like how it feels, but you know God still loves you. And can I remind somebody who got tricked by the enemy and thought that God didn't love you? Can I remind you that God loves you? And that's why you're here today. Because God wants you to know, bring all evil cares to me. Cast your cares upon me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Come unto me, all of you that are tired. Come to me, all of you that are struggling. And the word of God says, I will give you rest. Can I help you to see what God is talking about? Look at our last point, and we out of here today. Now that you understand that you got to lament, and you understand you have to pursue his will, and now you understand you got to accept what he allows. Look at this last one here. Now you in position to experience the power of yet. Can I help you real good? Put the words on the screen, man of God, and watch this right here. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, there's somebody in the house. You've been planting a long time. You've been trying to make it better, but your fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vine. There's somebody in the house. When you don't have grapes on the vine, it's like you can't make ends meet. Do I have anybody that feels that way? There's no grapes on the vine. It's hard to pay my mortgage. There's no grapes on the vine. I can't get adequate medical care. There's no grapes on the vine. I got some money, but I'm spiritually empty. Is there anybody in the house know what it feels like to go through a season with no grapes on the vine? And even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, and even though the flocks die in the fields, that means it got worse, y'all, before it got better. When there were no crops for Habakkuk, there were no crops for the cattle. When there were no crops for Habakkuk, there were no crops for the hens. Even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, God, I'm at my wit's end. Is there anybody feeling Habakkuk that know what it feels like to be at your wit's end? I want you to know something. There is a powerful word here that I pray blesses you and blesses you real good. Even though I feel as if I've ran out of everything, I've tried everything that I know how to do, and it hadn't turned around yet. There is a power in one word. Habakkuk says, yet. Do I have anybody in the house that can praise God on the power of yet? I know you're still going through, but you are celebrating God because there is a yet. There's a yet for your family. There's a yet for your children. There's a yet for your finances. There's a yet for your call. I don't know about you, but I celebrate God because I believe in the power of a yet. You see, yet breaks every chains. Yet frees me from bondage. Yet takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. What do you do when you understand the power of yet? It helps you to understand that everything that you went through in your past, yet you can still praise him because God had his hand on your life. It helps you to better understand your present because even though you're going through right now, God is still with you. But it should get you excited about your future because you shift from the tyranny of today and to the promises of your yet. And listen, let me tell you something that I pray blesses you. Y'all know why I get so excited when I preach the word of God. Perhaps I can stand behind the podium and lecture to you, give you 3 points and a poem, and go and sit down. But let me tell you why I preach the way that I preach. I I can see some stuff that some of y'all can't see. I see how you come in with your head bowed down. I see how you come in with your unanswered questions. I see your requests come in when you need help from benevolence. I see your prayer requests come in when you have to go to a doctor's appointment. I see your prayer requests come in when your family is going through. But let me tell you what I really see, that perhaps some of y'all can't see yet. What I see in the spirit every time I come into this place is not where you are, but what God is about to do. He just hadn't done it yet. So when God shows me what he's about to do in your family, man of God, when God shows me what he's about to do in your family, woman of God, I get a little happy. I get a case of the I can't help it. And my prayer this morning is that some of y'all could see what I see, that you could see that God is about to turn it around, that you can see that God has heard your cries, that you can see that God is about to fix it, that you can see that God is working it out for your good. Are y'all praying with me? You ought to be praying right now that you can see what a pastor sees, because some of y'all can't see it yet. That's why you sit there, but you can't see it yet. But the moment you see that you're going to have victory in that situation, the moment you see that God is going to turn it around, the moment you see that God is going to get rid of the baby mama drama, the moment you see that God is going to get rid of the baby daddy drama, the moment you see that God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, the more that you see that God is a deliverer, the more that you see that God is going to send somebody that you've been praying for, the more that you see that it's turning around, before you know it, you'll be out here in the aisle dancing with Pastor Walt, and they're going to say, why are you dancing? You're going to say, I see what he sees. I see victory. I see salvation. I see my joy coming back. I see my strength being restored. I see my body be made whole. I see myself being forgiven. I see myself forgiving others. I see my God making a way out of no way. And I need everybody who can see what I can see. Give God glory in this place. If you can see it for real. Now this is for the seers in the house. If you can see it for real. Reverend Johnson, can you see it? Brother David, can you see it? I need the seers in the house. Let me tell you something. In this ministry, 3-4 times a week, I have seers that will send me messages. I thank God for seers, y'all. That's an old-fashioned word for people with a prophetic gift. They start to see stuff, and they text me and say, God showed me this about the ministry. God is about to do something else, and we dance together. But oh, what a day it'll be when I come into the church one day, and I'm surrounded by people, starting with the children, all the way up to the most senior saints that can see so much, what the Lord my God has in store for you. Do I have any seers? Because I've been praying the whole time. They ain't seen it yet, God. But show it to them in such a way that when they see it, God, they got to give you a dance. When they see it, God, they got to give you a shout. God, show it to them. Show it to them right now. They ain't never seen it before. But God, show it to them. Spirit of the living God, open their eyes so they're not stuck in the tyranny of what they are going through the day, and they can celebrate. the power of yet. Yet will I trust him. Yet will I follow him. Yet will I serve him. Well, I can run on now because I know what the end is going to be. I'm going to run on now. I know what the end is going to be. Rebecca was able to go through, not because it wasn't hard, but he was able to go through because he knew what the end was going to be. Do I have anybody beside myself that's going to run on this week? Because you know what the end is going to be. I wish I had about five people to give God a lap for your family. I wish I had about five people to give God a lap for this church. I wish I had about five people to give God a lap for your circumstances. Why are we running? Because we can see what the end is going to be. I can see you shall live. And you won't die. I can see you coming out. I can see overflow. I can see miracle signs and wonders. I can see deliverance. I can see you being filled with the Holy Ghost. I can see it. 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 Oh, give him some glory. I can see it. 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 I'm surrounded by seers. Oh, I hope you see what I see. It's my prayer that you can see what I see. God's gonna do it for you. He's gonna do it for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Right there one more time. That's your praise right there. Come on. That's your praise right there. Hey. Hey, come on. Hey, that's right there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. As we rest to our feet, everybody standing. Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister Colleen and Reverend Mark, if y'all could go to the aisle. The other ministers come down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you can see it for real, it shifts everything. No matter what you face tomorrow, you can see the end. Don't worry about what the boss say. Don't worry about what the co-workers say. Because God is giving you vision to see beyond what they talking about. Thank you, God. Listen, I got some ministers in the aisle. As we are standing to our feet, I got some ministers in the aisle. As we keep running and dancing and being who we are. Thank you, God. Keep running. Keep dancing. Keep running. Keep dancing. Yeah. It feel good, don't it? Just give him a praise right there where you are. God, I can see it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a safe space. This is a safe space to worship. It's a safe space to give him praise. Hey, listen, fam. What did God say to you today? And how will you respond to it? We got a couple of ministers in the aisle because we want to walk with you. What did God say to you today? And how will you respond to it? Can I give you some ways you can respond? One of the things that you can do is examine your own life and your own relationship with God and ask yourself the question. Because I was going through a season of lament and I was dealing with it in an unhealthy way, is God saying it's okay for me to have complaints, but God is now saying he wants to call me back? So if you're a person that your complaints had separated you from God, God has said, I can handle your complaints, but I want you back. And if you're that person and you want to recommit or rededicate your life to the Lord, we want to meet you right here in this aisle. We got all these amazing prayer warriors right here. It's going to be a short walk, but it's going to be the best walk you ever took in your life. Because somebody here today, you need to rededicate your life to him. You need to surrender to him afresh, because in the middle of going through it, it's okay to complain. You was just doing it in an unhealthy way. And now God has heard your complaints today and said, I want your heart. I want your back. So if that's you, come meet us right here in this aisle. There's another invitation. Perhaps you're a person that has never said with your own mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins and that he shall soon return. Or maybe you said it and you want to say it afresh. Perhaps you didn't understand it, but you truly believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is Lord. And you want to give your life to him and be baptized, as the scripture declares. We want to meet you in this aisle. And certainly if there's anyone in the house that's been looking for a church home, a place where you can grow spiritually, a place where God can shape you and mold you, a place that you can be everything that God has called you to be, a place that you can use your spiritual gifts, whatever we stand in the need of, we want to meet you in the aisle. This is your moment. This is your moment. Be bold today. You're surrounded by witnesses.
Thank you for tuning in to our sermons podcast here at Chosen City Church. This and other podcasts, as well as our live Sunday morning service, can be found on all of our streaming platforms and are also available on the new Chosen City Church app, which is available on both the Apple Store and Google Play. We would love to see you in person on Sunday morning at either our 8 a.m. or 10:15 services. We are located at 13925 Irwin Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you soon and have a blessed day.